How do we achieve gender equality? The theme for this year is very interesting, just because, you know, first of all, there's that choice. Not many people have that choice. You know, you choose to challenge, you choose to say, you know what, this is not right for me. I want something better for me. I want an option. I want to be able to make a decision. And looking at some of the programs that we have, we see women or women-led organizations coming to us and saying, you know what, this is a concept that we have. This is what we want to do. We want to engage women and we want to talk to them to see what else can we do. How can we challenge the gender balance that we have? How do we challenge, you know, when we feel that this is unfair, how do we go about correcting this? So we have women groups which come to us and that is what they want to discuss. And we give them that space. We give them the opportunity to discuss that. And it's interesting because they're always talking about how do we do this, but how do we do it also in a peaceful way, you know? So there's also that element of peace building that is always showing up there, that is always coming up. Peace building, it's important. We have to integrate it into all the approaches that we have in the society. It was being said, you know, you need the permission of the men. At the end of the day, you don't know the repercussions that will be there behind when you go and directly engage the women without looking at the stakeholders who are all invested in that. So once you look at the stakeholders, once you try and make sure that they're all involved in this, you're also ensuring that there's peace building in the society. You're not also encouraging conflict, you know, conflict sensitivity, and they have the choice.
Musema, let me come to you and ask you this. Why is gender equality and women's empowerment important?
I'll just give the analogy of saying if you clap with one hand, would you be able to clap? So that's the context of why gender equality is really, really important. A society that has like more than half of its population that are not able to express themselves or stand up and engage in what decisions that really matter about their lives. A society that has more than half of its population that cannot be able to provide effectively for their own welfare in terms of food sustainability and their own livelihood. A society that has more than half of its population illiterate, I think is the analogy where we are talking about one hand cannot clap, because if we have a group of people in the society that are doing much better than the other one, as the women, more than half of them, they cannot effectively participate in the political processes, they cannot effectively provide for their families, they cannot effectively participate in public life in terms of, you know, all areas of public life where they can be able to progress in life, I think is where we're talking about, you know, that's the reason why we're talking about gender inequality, meaning, you know, if we reach a point where we're able to engage on many equal bases in a way that, you know, if I want to be a politician, I'm fully engaged and somebody does not think that, why do I want to be a politician at this point? I can provide for my family. I can engage effectively in all areas of life. I think this is why gender equality is important. Yeah. And as the analogy has always gone to, that, you know, when you empower a woman, you empower a whole society. If I am educated, I come out of there, the money that I get, it goes into educating other family members. It goes into feeding. And you find that those households that a woman is educated, the health of their children is actually much better than the households of the ones that are not educated. So basically, for us to meet this goal, rather than us expecting all the time the man has to provide, how about the woman providing too? So if we bring all these resources together, if I come with Kamsa Alf, I come with 5,000, and another person comes, my husband comes with 5,000, we have 10,000. How impactful is that in the house? Isn't that helping to really change so much? So what can we be able to do with that amount of money? Yeah. So basically, gender equality means, for me, it's really about realizing and us effectively contributing in our life processes.
Let me come to you, Winnie. Winnie, maybe you can also talk about the gender inequality in South Sudan and women's empowerment, as well as those challenges you want to supplement what Achai was talking about.
I think when we look at the challenges, some of the challenges affecting women in South Sudan, For us, I think one of the key things is the knowledge gap. So many women are simply not aware. You know, they don't know what they're entitled to. They don't know where they can get certain services. They don't know their potential, you know. So one of the things that DEI does is in our centers, we provide internet access for free. They are able to access our centers, and, you know, internet is a whole different world. They can get any knowledge that they want, whether they want to study, whether they want to check on job opportunities. I mean, there's so much that they can do once they have internet access. There's a small library space where they're able to come and read. You know, knowledge is power. So we are recognizing that that is so important.
Let me come to you, Museme. How is USAID helping to advocate for women's rights and also challenge negative norms and stereotypes? You talked about the stereotypes earlier, but then from the perspective of, let's say, the activity, particularly of USAID regarding that.
Thank you. USAID actually does not do direct implementation, so we implement through a number of we have a number of partners that implement our interventions. And for instance, we spoke about IOM being here and Democracy International being here. Basically, what we ensure that the implementing partners take into account what are really important in one, looking at the constitution of South Sudan. The transitional constitution of South Sudan, it has clear provisions on the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights enshrines everybody, men, women, as part of, you know, people who have to benefit because they have the right, natural endowed rights. And within the Bill of Rights, we do have the rights of women too. Article 16 of the transitional constitution does provide for the rights of women in that. Basically, I think what USAID is aiming to do is try and support the implementation of what exists in the country as well. They're making sure that the rights of women are met, and the rights of women are met through the various interventions that we have in democracy and governance, in education, in health. We do have a humanitarian angle too, that we help to respond to a number of emergencies that currently has presented itself because of the conflict in the country. And so our engagements really look into, working with the partners ensures that the partners are able to respond to what is very pertinent in the different angles that we're engaging in, ensuring that gender is enshrined in it, issues of GBV are well tackled, issues of gender equality, women's empowerment are all tackled as much as we can, but also based on the country context. What are the realities on the ground? What are the barriers that cause women to be empowered?